designed for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. I'm out here in Las Vegas tonight. Drew is back in Los Angeles. Drew?
Yeah, you sound like either you've been yelling or spending the entire day in a smoke-filled room, or both.
Yelling.
I mean, by yelling, I mean speaking very loudly to speak over the talk over the stripper music.
Oh, right? Drew.
Right?
Oh, Drew.
Right?
How dare you? Blah. The cat is on stage 5. Boy, show you appreciate it. Gentlemen's lunch every Tuesday. Fellas come in between noon and 3. Highballs and draft beers, only $3.
I don't mean that you're the announcer at this rip. I just mean just to talk to your buddies. You have to yell like that, right?
Yeah, but that's how I talk when I get into the strip club.
Of course. I understand.
No, I've not been to a strip club. How dare you?
Not yet.
I came here to work, Drew, working on some cranky anchors, and then work today, and then got back to the hotel about 7:30. Took a little of the spritz in the sauna, you know, like to sit in that sauna.
At the Four Seasons.
You ever do that? Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Good time.
Why not? Yeah. A nice steam bath, nice sauna. Right. It's really nice taking a shower places other than your own house, because when you're done with that towel, you just loosen it from around your waist, drop it, and keep walking. And, you know, like, when I'm at home, I use one towel for like, 4 or 5 showerings.
You know that? And it also kind of, the water makes you anxious, like you're going to get it on the floor or damage the walls with it.
Yeah,
you know, wipe things down.
You tiptoe around. Like, when you get out of the shower, you make a little dash to get on from the hardwood to the carpet kind of thing. And you don't want to leave a track. And no, not when you're somewhere else. I'll use 3-4 towels. I'll have, like, one on my head, one around each knee, one up my ass.
And I want to know where the one is
my
that
nuts.
Just came out of the dryer.
What's that?
I want to know where the ones are that just came out of the dryer, too. I want the hot ones.
Yeah, you get that, and you just start throwing stuff everywhere. So
Let's get to the sex.
Good times,
buddy.
All right, you ready to go here, Drew?
There
anything you want to say?
No. I'm sort of bewildered and shocked. What do you mean? Me talk?
I'm assuming you don't have anything to say.
Oh, I see. I was just a bluff. Okay, this is AC33.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're good.
Good.
First of all, let me just say it's an honor taking. It's an honor talking to you guys. I got this problem.
It lives in like a haunted house.
Now I understand why callers get nervous when they talk to you. It's like such an honor talking to you guys.
No, it's more they're angry, but go ahead.
Okay, I got this weird problem. I hate having sex with a condom. So in order to train my brain and train my body, masturbate wearing a condom.
Genius. AC, you're the man.
Now, the strange thing is that when I come inside the condom, a little bit of blood comes out with a semen.
All right. Mm-hmm. Every time?
Yeah, every time with a condom. Now, when I do it without a condom...
Well, how do you know without a condom? You don't capture all of it the way you do with a condom, right?
Well, I use a... I experimented. I used a terry cloth.
Do you experience any irritation or anything with the condom on?
No.
It's very strange. There's nothing implicit in wearing a condom that would cause bleeding. And bleeding in sperm and semen is not an uncommon thing, and it doesn't necessarily mean anything serious, but it is the kind of thing that you ought to see a doctor just to make sure.
Could he have anything to do with the pressure or anything?
That's what I'm wondering, whether you're sort of more vigorous or something because you're trying to compensate
He means the pressure of the condom. And by the way, I would have loved to have been there for the terry cloth towel experiment. It's you basically looking for a drop of blood in a sea of white terry cloth, right?
And I found nothing.
Mm-hmm. How do you explain this, Drew?
That's what I'm saying. I wonder if maybe he has to be more vigorous to compensate for the lack of sensitivity with the condom. You see what I'm saying, Adam?
Mm.
You see? So maybe that causes some irritation or something.
That's an interesting hypothesis, Drew. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it harder for you to have an orgasm when you have the condom on?
No. No, it isn't. It takes about the same.
Why do you hate the condom so much?
I feel that, and this might sound like BS, but it feels like the chemistry is lost somewhere when I use a condom.
You mean the connection with the other person?
Yes, and it's just so frustrating for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, God bless you for figuring out a way to overcome that by practicing and drilling, as we say.
Thank you.
Yeah, and how often, by the way, when you use the condom and you do this experiment alone, I mean, what percentage of the time is there going to be blood in the semen?
How many times?
100% of the time.
Of how many times?
If I do it seven times a week with a condom.
So you've done this hundreds of times with a condom?
No, that's too expensive. I've done it about 20 times.
20 times.
All right. Well, 20 for 20 sounds pretty good.
That's pretty good numbers.
Drew, put him on hold. His chair is driving me insane.
That's the floor. The place is about to collapse. It's not like every step he was taking.
I'm picturing him on one of those chairs that the sheriff would sit in a small town.
Right.
And he'd have to get up from it and put his hat on. That always meant there was going to be trouble.
Yes.
You put that hat on, that means there's trouble.
You're moving.
He's got to head out to the street, yeah. All right, so what should he do, Drew?
He's got to see the doctor. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. It may end up being nothing, but he's got to get checked out. No way we can predict what it is. Anthony's 15.
Hey, I don't know. I have a question about, is it normal to be bisexual?
No.
It's common.
I mean, because it's sort of confusing, because I can like two things.
Well, at 15, most 15-year-olds are sort of confused about what it is they are or are not. And sometimes it is that they're going through a phase and they will become heterosexual. Sometimes it's on the way to being homosexual. Sometimes it's a mature bisexual orientation that will persist. But one of the ways we sort of look at assessing whether or not there's confusion, which means you may stay bisexual, is if you were sexually abused.
No, I wasn't.
Were you physically abused?
No, none of that.
So, Adam, what do you think? Bye-bye?
Saying bye to bye and hello to homo?
Yeah.
Well, judging by his voice, I would say he's not too far away from going gay.
But he is attracted to females, though, right?
Yeah, I am.
For now. So was Elton John for a while.
All right. So we'll see.
But
sit tight.
Anything, whatever it is, good times.
All right, Anthony?
Yeah. For now, thank you.
Who was that?
I'm guessing that was one of his bi friends.
Bye-bye.
Anthony, you're fine. Bye-bye.
Matt, 20.
Drew, wait, hold on a second, Drew. Most 15-year-olds aren't confused. I know we always say that to make the confused 15-year-olds feel better about themselves, but it's not fair to the 15-year-olds who aren't really confused.
Most 15-year-olds, by some estimation, either go through a phase where they're attracted to the same sex or they're at least sort of have doubts kind of thing.
Well, but let me say this, Drew.
Yeah.
There used to be attraction to same sex when you were younger, but it was a little more hero worship, and it really never got into sexuality.
Mm.
You know, when there was that, when you're a kid and you're a big fan of some sports star, and you put his poster up, and it was definitely an attraction, but it wasn't a sexual attraction.
Right.
I don't think that's confusion.
But sometimes there can be sort of a sense of tenderness or a tender attraction that gets confused with sexual feelings. It is. All those hormones are beginning to turn on.
Not in most 15-year-olds.
I would argue that you might be right, but there's some...
Thank you.
Yeah, some people would say...
Thank you.
Right,
thank you.
You're right. You're always right, Adam.
Thank you.
All right. You got it? You're always right.
Well, you know I'm right about this one.
James 15. James? Oh, for God's sakes.
He hung up.
That's that. This is Matt 20.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Matt.
Wow, I can't believe I'm talking to cool guy and Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
My question is for Dr. Drew.
All right.
A few weeks ago, I was at my apartment. I was just got home from work, and I was, choking. Okay, I was masturbating, right? And I was towards climax, and I thought I heard something at the door, so I kind of paused.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like my semen went right back down my shaft, and it really burnt. It really hurt really bad.
Did you suddenly clamp down?
What's that?
Did you clamp down with sort of a muscular contraction? It's like you were interrupting a flow of urine, something like that?
Yeah, I have no idea. Like, my testicles hurt really bad after
Matt,
that.
Matt, did you... How else can I ask this question, Adam? Help me.
Anderson, did you pinch off your dork?
No.
Did, you know how if you were going to constrict the muscles in your perineum to interrupt the flow of urine, if you were peeing right. to just stop, did you do anything like that?
No. I didn't.
It just, you stopped, and all of a sudden you got this spasm.
Yeah, and it went down, and I kind of tried to shake it out, but that wasn't working. And later on that night, I just got done having sex with my girlfriend, and I went to the bathroom, and I was going to the bathroom. You know how you got that dribble afterwards?
Right.
I looked down, and it looked like there was semen coming out.
All right. Are you on any medication?
No, I have asthma, but that's the only medication.
Did you take any medication lately?
No.
Cold medicine, allergy medicine, anything?
No.
Seriously, I bet you did.
Why?
Because
why?
That's retrograde ejaculation. And
what's that have to do with him taking cold medicine?
That can cause it.
All right,
there's
well, whatever.
Antidepressant medicines, a lot of things can cause that.
He got going, he stopped, he interrupted the flow, whatever it is. Just don't do it again, you'll be fine. Right?
Well, again, if he's on the medication or notice that he may expect this to happen if he takes cold medicine again, it might even be from his asthma medicine.
Well, it happened because he stopped mid-whack. You never do that.
Your head will explode. It's like sneezing.
Well, let me explain something, Drew.
All right.
And then I have a question, so don't let me forget to ask the question.
All right.
When it comes to aircraft, there's a point when the airplane is going down the runway where there's no stopping.
Right.
It's different for different aircrafts, different weights and loads and things like that. But once that airplane crosses that threshold, they got to start getting airborne and make a run for it,
just
no matter
for
what happens.
For comedy's sake, is there a name for that?
No.
No, okay.
But good instincts, okay. Comedically, Drew,
course,
on your side.
You.
There's probably a name. There's probably some sort of threshold-related name for it, but I don't know what the hell it is because I'm not a pilot.
I've been around
Here's the point. This is the same way with your penis and beating off.
Yeah.
Once you get going and you cross that threshold, you have to continue going.
Yeah.
I don't care if the Pope falls out of the ceiling and he's arm in arm with your dead grandmother and your gym coach from the seventh grade.
Right.
You must finish.
Yes.
And this is what happened. He interrupted things. Now, let me ask you this, Drew.
Yeah.
Where, you know when the semen comes out of you?
Mm-hmm.
What gives it its propulsion?
Muscular contractions.
In what part of the body?
Perineum.
So
the floor of the pelvis.
Is the penis just sort of the barrel of the rifle?
Absolutely.
And all it does is keep the bullet going semi-straight.
Gives it a little
kick.
It can be a little kick sometimes.
But it doesn't propel the bullet.
No.
Interesting.
Okay. That was the question?
That was it, Drew.
Oh, wow. Phew.
Our listeners demand answers for these questions.
They do. Matt is 20.
I was just talking to you guys.
That's right. That was Matt.
About...
Yeah, we got you. You had the retrograde.
Yeah, right. All right. Yes, yeah.
That's right.
Hey, can we talk to a girl, for Christ's sake?
Yeah. Tatiana, 14. Tatiana? Oh, my
Hello?
God. Hi.
Oh, my God. I'm talking to you guys.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
It's our pleasure. Adam.
I love you, Adam.
Hold on a second, Tatiana. Be kind to this young lady. She lives in Van Nuys.
Ooh.
My parents, I hate them.
Yeah, you should. That's child abuse, raising a child in Van Nuys.
And they're making me go to North Hollywood High.
Oh, no.
Do you ever see Adam's, the house Adam grew up in? It's right across the street from the asphalt playground area.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a haunted house. It looks like it looks right out of the turn of the century.
No, I didn't. Oh, yeah. That's not North Hollywood High, though.
Oh, that isn't?
No.
Oh, I thought you said you went to school right across the street from where you live.
I did, but that was grade school.
Oh, for God's sake.
And
sweet.
Then I moved into another house later that was across the street from my high school.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like right in the middle of Van Nuys and Panorama City on Roscoe.
Oh, Panorama City.
No!
And Woodman.
Oh.
No!
It's
horrible. Yeah. Horrible.
All right, so what's up?
Well, that's what's up, right? No.
Yeah, but I'm shaking. I love you guys so much. I'm in love with my best guy friend, and...
Does he know that?
Yeah, I told him.
How'd he take it?
And he sounded pretty flattered.
Mm-hmm. How long has he been your best friend?
About 4 months.
And why didn't this go into a relationship in the first place?
Because he was with a girlfriend already.
Does he still have a girlfriend?
No, they broke up about 2 months ago.
Do you think now that you've sort of made your desires known, he'll respond?
I don't know, but he does tell me about things he'd like to do with me.
And those include? go to the zoo?
No. Yeah, I actually am in the zoo magnet. But, he did say something about, like, bondage.
Bondage.
Oh, really?
How old is this guy?
16.
11.
What kind of
15.
Guy? What kind of guy is he?
He's really nice, and I was surprised.
Bondage. Does he live off of Roscoe over there, yeah, near you?
He lives in Studio City.
Oh, hey. Moving up.
Nice part of town. Yeah, you should definitely hitch your wagon to his team. Studio City. Yeah.
Well, what's the question?
Well, I wanted to know if there's, like, any way of knowing if he actually likes me.
It sounds like there's something here.
But he continuously tells me that I'm hot and that he's lonely, but he won't, like, actually make a move to go out with me because he's kind of scared of the age difference.
A year?
No, he's 16, I'm 14.
She said 15 a minute ago.
Yeah, sorry. So he's a decent guy. He has appropriate concerns.
What about the bondage part?
I don't know. Maybe he's screwing around. But listen, he's a 16-year-old concerned about what it would mean to date a 14-year-old, what the impact would be on her. It's good.
Does he still have his ex-girlfriend or his current girlfriend?
No, she lives in Canada.
Have they officially broken up?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. What do you think, Adam?
I'm wondering why the guy hasn't made a move. I mean, when you're 16 and you're talking about a 14-year-old, it's not that big a deal to you.
Well, are you in 8th grade or 9th grade?
9th grade.
Hmm. And he's in sophomore, junior?
11th grade.
11th grade.
All right. He's a junior.
All right. When do you see him? How do you know him? When do you see him?
Oh, he's in my geometry class.
They go to the same time? North Hollywood High, Adam.
I thought they didn't go in 9th grade.
No, I'm in the zoo magnet.
She's in the zoo magnet, Drew.
What does that mean?
It's just...
we have the zoo campus, so it's like a small school, so we're in classes with older kids, too.
A zoo campus?
On the parking lot of the LA Zoo.
What?
Yeah, it's like a 200-person, like, little tiny science magnet.
Wow, near the Cowboy and Indian Museum, or...?
No, it's... kind of to the side behind, like, the barns.
And what is this school?
How weird
you
is
smoke
that?
Cigarettes and call your teachers by their first names?
Yeah.
Where is it? I mentioned the zoo. How weird is that?
No, it is. It is kind of weird, yeah. Because she did say she went to the zoo magnet after you mentioned the zoo.
But
I just didn't have time to get into it.
That's right.
Don't think I don't hear everything. I just don't respond to everything anymore.
We're giving it a lukewarm blessing, okay?
But what do I do about the bondage thing?
He may have been kidding. Tell him you're not going for that.
Yeah, you have your limits, and you want to maintain the friendship.
That's the thing. I do like bondage.
Okay. Did you bring it up with him?
No, he brought it up.
Are you not a virgin?
No.
How many guys you been with?
Just one.
All right.
How do you know you're into bondage at 14?
Well, I love to be dominated.
So. Were you physically sort of abused growing up?
I don't know, but I really think I was because I get really, like, I have, like, social phobia sometimes.
All right. Just go slow, Tatiana. Be careful. This is moving a little too fast here.
All right.
The guy, you don't even know this guy, really, at least in an intimate way, and he's already planning a bondage deal for you.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, Adam.
Let me tell you what my bondage was when I was in high school. I would get drunk and pass out at a party, and my buddy Ray would duct tape me to the chair I was in and then put a expired cigarette butts in my mouth before I woke up.
Nice.
Those were my bondage experiences in high school.
Good times.
14, into bondage. And what's up with those magnet schools? Let me tell you what goes on at those places, Drew.
Yeah?
Nothing.
Hmm.
Nothing.
I thought that's where you get advanced education.
No, BS.
Oh, you mean they don't offer ceramics?
No, it's just for hippie kids who don't want to study, and they just send them there and they smoke and call the teachers by their first names. They don't do anything.
Good times.
There's no learning going on in those magnet schools. Drew, you would kill yourself if one of your kids ended up at one of those places.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. Let's take a break, shall we?
Yeah, all right.
Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Guest? Adam?
Me?
The love that exists?
Between the two hosts. Right. I forgot about that guest.
I was kind of devastated, is that the right word, when I found out you weren't going to be here for a little one-on-one action, a little me time?
Drew and I, in all seriousness, really do look at the guests on our show as intruders in our house. Now, most other shows work feverishly to get guests and then are angered when they don't show up and line up multiple guests. When Drew and I have had guests for 3, 4, 5 nights in a row, we get an ass full of them.
Oh, yes.
And it's not that we don't like the people, because we had a lot of really nice people and we had a good time talking to them. But we miss the time when we sit and bitch about the other guests who were there before alone.
And it's been 8 nights in a row, Adam.
Has it been that many nights?
8 guests in a row, 8 nights straight, and I don't understand how you could have spoiled this evening so irresponsibly.
I'm sorry.
By leaving town.
Now
Anne is pissed off, too, because she's taken offense to the fact that we're making issue with her having booked a bunch of good guests.
You're just creepy.
Who?
Drew. You're, like, in there caressing the thing, the letterbox, all, like, sexually about the fact that he's not here.
What's the letterbox? This thing?
I'm playing with the letter. No, you're caressing. He's caressing it at him sexually.
Let me say this about Drew. He's had some sort of breakthrough in therapy a few months back, and I'd like him to go back to before the breakthrough. I don't want to get to know the real Drew.
Don't worry.
I really, you know, I like my Drew, but at an arm's distance. You know what I'm saying, Drew?
Yeah, I understand.
All right, buddy. Yeah. Well, good times. We'll take a little break, and don't worry. I'll call you on the cell phone after the show. We can really get caught up.
Oh, yes, you will.
Mm-hmm. We'll be back after this. Hey, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. I'm over here in Vegas tonight. Drew's back in Los Angeles. And, Drew, do we have a guest tomorrow night?
Chevelle?
Ah, Chevelle. That is one of my favorite cars.
Anne's going to explain.
Oh, okay.
Yes?
It's a band we're playing currently.
Oh, yeah, Chevelle. You know Chevelle, Drew.
Yeah, they used to be called Chevette.
That's right. Ann's going to kill you.
Why?
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
Adam, you know, have you ever stood back by our coffee maker there where Patrick the ghost lives and taken a big whiff by that goddamn microwave oven we have? Mm-hmm. I mean, it tastes like the worst, it smells like the most rancid old instant Lipton tea.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I cannot get that smell out of my nose right now. I just heated my coffee up in it, and I want to just barf.
I would like to do one of those Fox exposés on a radio station kitchens.
Oh, yeah.
Just to see what lurks inside. You know, just have a team come in and swab down the inside of the refrigerator, the coffee pot, and the microwave. Take it to the lab and see what kind of E. coli and other crazy viruses live inside of these things. Because here's the problem. I'll tell you the problem with radio stations. I just got done walking. I'm sipping some of the worst coffee I've ever brewed in the back of the station I'm at. And they're always the same. They're sort of part morgue, part dump, part kitchen. You know? Here's the problem.
The whole station itself or just the kitchen area?
The whole station, but especially the kitchen. And here's the problem at radio stations. Nobody's in charge of cleaning them.
Well, but now they've also become...
nobody's job.
Right. They've also become kind of like backstage at Disneyland, too. You know what I mean? There's all these rooms with all this equipment firing off. And nobody to see it anywhere. No one's around.
Right.
It's all computer-generated.
Yeah. What's that got to do with the kitchen, though, Drew?
Go ahead. Well, because there's no one around to clean the place up.
Right. That's what it is. And then you open the fridge and there's a bunch of sandwiches with people's names on it and a bunch of notes everywhere. By the way, you know it's a bad workplace when you open the fridge and there's handwritten notes on the milk and on the yogurt. It says, like, this is Bernadette's. Do not touch. If I catched a person that ate my last yogurt, that's not a good sign.
No.
You go to a TV show, there's food all over the place, no names on it. That's what we got to do, Drew.
And then a catered lunch.
That's right.
And dinner and whatever the hell else.
All right, buddy. You got to get back on TV.
Oh, help me. This is Rob 19.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Rob. What's up?
Hey.
I have a problem I wanted to talk to you about. To give you kind of the short of it, I've suffered from ADD and clinical depression for, that's me. That's what I... And, basically, my teenage years have been a living hell for my parents, and I just recently got over the medication is weak thing, you know, where you don't want to take medication because you think it's a cop-out.
So now you're taking it and you feel better.
I'm taking Paxil, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to therapy, and things have been going great. Everything's like, you know, I talk things out with my parents and everything like that.
Wow.
And what?
Well, I'm startled by the way you're describing yourself. You know, the sort of maturity and objective accuracy with which you reflect is very unusual for a 19-year-old, let alone a 19-year-old with a bunch of psychiatric diagnoses.
Well, thank you, sir.
You know, the point where I make it to life hell for my parents, I've got these...
It's refreshing, though, right?
But it's kind of confusing, too. It's like, well, wait a minute. I can see now why you have this insight. You're stabilized medication, you're in therapy, things are going well. Okay, got it. So where do things go wrong?
Okay, well, you know, yeah, everything's going cool. Got a job now, you know, not sitting around on my ass. Tonight at dinner, my dad's he also, you know, depression runs in the family.
Is he drinking?
What?
Does he drink?
No. And my grandmother, his mom, is manic, and my brother is manic.
Mm.
And he is clinical, just like me, but he's on, like, this medication from the Stone Age, you know?
Which one?
I don't know the name of it, but he falls asleep in his chair. So.
Okay. It's gravel. He's actually eating gravel.
Stones, rocks, stones, yes.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Rem.
And clouds. Clouds and rocks.
Right. And anyway, well, he's been going through a tough time at work lately. Mm-hmm. He's been trying to get his retirement, like, scheduled, and people are trying to, like, screw him with stuff, you know?
Mm.
And he's been kind of pissed off, and, like, you know, he's just coming pissed all the time. And my mom got in a fight with me about the way I handled someone who called for her. Okay. And we were just, like, fighting. I was yelling at her. I'm like, hey, you know, I don't think, you know, I deserve to be talked to this way or whatever. And we were, like, yelling back and forth. And my dad jumped in, and I said, you know, Dad, you're not one to talk. You know, you're miserable and pissed all the time. And he goes, well, if you don't like it, you can leave. Nobody's keeping you here. Nobody's keeping you here.
Mm.
And, like, I'd never heard either of my parents say anything like that to me. They put up with my, I guess, you know, I should be grateful. They always put up with my smile, you know.
Oh.
Wait, no, don't hang up on him. I got to talk.
No. Put him on hold.
Wait, no. Listen. Rob's an unusual guy. Do you get that?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if it's that he's very, very, very smart. Do you think that?
He sounds to me like he's a little manic-y right now.
Yeah, he's got a little...
But he may just be a little charged up from being on the radio.
Right. But
he also sounds like a guy who's been sort of beaten down by life and has seen the light in the last few weeks or months
and the parents
coming out of his shell.
Parents may be doing him a favor by kicking him out right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit of...
He's got a job. He's 19. It's time to get out.
It's a little bit of kicking him into the, you know, the mama bird kicking the kid out of the nest.
And here's the thing. As a guy, when you're older than 18 and you start laying it down with your dad a little bit, expect the no one needs you here line to come flying back at you.
And probably the dad was thinking about that for a long time. He's got to move on. He's got to get out of here. How are we going to get him going? And then now he's frustrated, irritable, and pow, out it comes. Now you're going. Right. You're out. That's it.
Okay. That's all right.
It's all right,
Time
Rob.
To go. And listen, everybody, you don't have to be able to afford to move out.
It challenges you, doesn't it?
You're just forced to.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a couple of roommates. You find some little crappy place that's way too small and not in the greatest neighborhood that you can afford. You just make it work.
Where you go to school? Away. Make that work.
Well, wait a minute. How do you do that? Who's paying for that?
You make that work. You find loans. There's plenty of ways people can get. If they have no, they're emancipated, sure. Sean. 16, Sean.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
I just want to say that you guys are, like, totally awesome, dude. Like,
totally.
Thanks, Sean.
Like, I think the show is complete crap. I think you guys are pigs, and you need to get the hell off the air.
Yeah.
No, like...
Thanks for keeping that one, though, Anderson. Appreciate that. What's that, Sean?
The things you guys do for kids is just so awesome that I think you guys should, like, have a Grammy or something. Something cool like that.
You know what I mean? Thank you.
All right. Well, my question is, I want to know what the long-term effects are of doing crank, weed, and coke simultaneously, like, every other weekend or so.
For how many times?
I don't know, like, just whenever there's a party and I go to it and, you know, I get a little bit drunk and...
It's a strange combination.
Yeah.
Crank, coke, weed, and coke? Eh, not really.
Well, crank and coke is a strange combination.
I guess. It's like usually it's one or the other. I mean, it's usually you shoot for coke and end up with crank.
What do both do for you?
Huh?
Well, why both? Why speed and coke?
I really can't tell you that because, like, it just kind of happens.
You're just whatever's put in front of you.
Yeah.
And how many times do you think you've done this?
See, in the past year or so, probably, I'd say once a month for the past year.
All right. And in between times, you're not doing anything?
Yeah, I smoke a little bit of bud every once in a while.
Every day?
Every other day or so.
Okay.
Yeah, every day. Where are you getting the coke? Isn't that expensive? You're 16.
Yeah.
Not anymore, Adam. No, not anymore. You're thinking of the 80s.
No, I think coke's still expensive for a 16-year-old.
I don't really pay for it, you know? Like, it just, they kind of just put out a couple of lines for me.
By the way, a patient pointed out to me that we were trying to figure out an ounce and an 8-ball and all that stuff, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it's like the Queen's system or something that they utilize to distribute drugs. And so it is like 28 ounces and I don't know.
Yeah.
Right?
I wanted to tell you guys that, too. I tried to call in that night that happened, that you guys were talking about.
So what are the facts? How many ounces in a, what is it, how many grams in an ounce, 28?
Yeah, it's 28. You guys said, like, 24 or something?
Well, we looked it up on the encyclopedia, and that's what it gave us. But apparently there's another version of this out there that the drug addicts use.
So I used to sell weed, and, yeah, it's 28.
Yeah, anybody that has sold drugs apparently can tell you it's 28, so.
28 grams in an ounce, but an 8-ball is still 3.5 ounces, right?
That's 4, right?
No, 3. Well, almost 4. I mean, an 8-ball is like 3.7 grams.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And that's because it's 1/8 of an ounce?
Yeah.
Good times. All right, here's the deal, Sean. There's nothing especially bad about that combination, okay? The weed every day is probably your biggest issue. It's going to affect your memory, your academic performance, your mood. It's going to affect a lot of stuff. Crank, I was just listening to some presentations this evening. I was talking about all the different brain injury associated with amphetamine. And it looks like the chemicals that are raised in your brain by amphetamine actually cause what are called oxidative damage by free radicals in the brain. And so the crank is the one thing that can actually really seriously injure your brain. Though in my experience, you know, 10 exposures over a year doesn't usually do anything. All right.
All right. Hey, good times.
Good times.
Hey, Drew, it must be 3.5 grams in an 8-ball, mm-hmm. because 3.5 would be 1/8 of 28.
Yeah. Adam?
Mm-hmm.
Let it go. Let it go, baby.
Well, that's what an 8-ball is. It's got to be 3.5 grams.
This is Chris, 25.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Okay.
What's up?
This is where you talk.
What's that?
This is where you talk to us.
Oh, did you hear my predicament?
No.
No?
No.
Well, I heard a little buzz on the street in Vegas here, but I wanted to call you up and get the straight dope. I didn't want to jump to any conclusions.
Okay, the predicament is I'm sleeping with a coworker that's married.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
How old is she?
23.
And how long has she been married, you know?
Not very long.
Does she have kids?
Nope.
And how serious are you two besides sleeping with each other?
We like each other.
Yeah, there you go.
So, you think anyone's in love with anybody?
What's that?
Is she your superior? Yeah. Forget it, Adam. Is she your superior, or you have authority over her?
Authority?
Oh, boy.
Drew, hold on a second. Put him on hold.
I give.
What are the chances that he's going to have authority over anybody?
She might over him. That was the question.
All right, but then you asked if it was he over she, and that's impossible. And by the way, when you have to examine the word authority, it usually means that you don't wield a lot of it.
No, yeah.
Or if you go ahead. Let's continue.
All right. Chris?
All right. He hung up or something?
I don't know.
He's good. Fine.
This is very frustrating.
Why?
It's like talking to a brick wall.
Brick wall?
Yeah. Huh?
Huh? Brick wall?
God.
Well, look, Drew, you only get frustrated because you start off the night attempting to help.
Yeah,
you have
right.
to free yourself of that burden.
Oh.
You got to make it through the 2 hours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try Jessica, 31.
Hi.
Hey.
My question is there a difference when a woman, does it feel different when a woman gives oral sex when she has tonsils, and when a woman doesn't?
Adam, it's much tighter when they're tonsils, right?
Yeah. When they have tonsils, it's like sliding into a beautiful, velvety sleeping bag. When they don't have tonsils, it's like thrusting your junk into a garbage disposal filled with badgers and razor blades.
Oh, no.
With tonsils, it's...
Yeah, that's the difference. You're not getting your tonsils out, are you?
Oh, my tonsils have already been removed.
Oh, no! Oh,
So Adam, usually with the tonsils, you get the ribbed action and it's tighter.
Mm-hmm.
Without it, it's just mm-hmm. you lose the whole thing.
Yeah, you don't even know you're getting a Hummer.
Just
like,
you're 31 years old, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just like crawl out of a?
Yeah, it was just a drunken conversation we had once, and it just mm-hmm. stuck with me.
Okay.
Did you get your tonsils out some time ago?
Oh, when I was 5, I've never.
And then she asked the doctors this very question.
Have that. You had any complaints?
No.
No.
I can't imagine you would, Jessica.
It was just a strange question we had.
Yeah, we'll give you that.
Yeah.
Do you understand where the tonsils are?
Yes.
Way in the back of the throat.
Mm-hmm.
Behind the tongue. Past the tongue.
Yes.
Okay.
I was just wondering.
All right. Well, mm-hmm. I'm glad you felt comfortable asking.
And what about Drew? Same question, gallbladder.
Jeez, that's not been studied, and I certainly.
But you imagine it would have some effect. You'd have to get a little further down.
Of course, and then we all know the appendix has that tremendous,
huge. And, I wouldn't date a woman.
Worst of all,
I was missing tonsils and appendix.
Worst of all is thyroidectomy.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jessica.
Thank you very much.
Hey, good times, though, right?
Yeah, good times.
All right. Tonsils out. Have we ever had that question?
Never. My God bless Jessica.
Has a human ever even pondered that thought?
That's the point. I wonder if she'd crawled. Maybe she was one of the badgers you were talking about. She like
and maybe,
out of,
let me tell you this. The primordial the garbage soup. Disposal.
Yes, that's right.
I think about everything.
Yeah.
I examine almost every angle of humanity, and then certainly as it pertains to sexuality.
And complain about it.
Physiology, and then form a complaint about it somehow.
Yes.
But even this one has not crossed my lobe.
But it's good. It's a good one.
All right. Shall we take a little break, Drew?
Let's do.
All right. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. And Drew?
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
I'll give a little shout out if I could for a second.
All right.
When I was here a few months back and there was a little debacle involving a cab and giving me a ride back to the hotel and so on and so forth, I was talking about it on the air. It was late at night. It was probably 10, 15, 20 minutes left in the show.
This was when they wouldn't take a request for a cab till you were on the street corner. Basically.
They don't take time calls.
Right.
And basically how that works is someone gave me a number and said, call the cab company 15 minutes before you're ready to go, and they'll dispatch a cab out to you, and then when the show's over, you hop in and go back to the hotel, and you beat off, you drink, you beat off, you drink, you beat off, you beat off, then you go to bed, then you get up and beat off, and you drink.
And just threw up. She just vomited right here.
Really?
Yeah. Good job, Adam.
Pregnant. All right, but anyway, when I got outside, and here's how the call went. And is there anyone more delightful than the Vegas female chain-smoking cab dispatcher who are angered by the fact that you've dared to call their business?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, ask that cab. And you're like, I'd like a cab in about 15 minutes to 12 o'clock. We don't take time calls. And then there's a pause because I don't know what the lingo is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, could you send the cab over at midnight? We don't take time calls. Well, it's a quarter to midnight now. Well, how long? Well, if I do call, you call when you want the cab. It's like, well, I want it at midnight. Call at midnight. Well, okay, when I call at midnight, how long is it going to take? 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's a quarter to midnight now. Why don't you just send him now? No. Well, I changed my mind. I want the cab now. No.
Yeah.
All right, so some guy heard this, and when I came out into the parking lot, he was waiting out there for me.
Wow.
Yeah. He said, I'll give you a ride. I'm a big fan. And I said, well, the cab pulled up at the same time. And I thought, well, I didn't want to make this cab guy drive all the way out here, so I'll just get in the cab. But I thanked the guy. Seemed like a nice guy. Said his old lady worked for the station or something. So if that guy's listening,
come
on out. I'd rather take my chances with this guy than one of these hack drivers out here.
Of course.
So if you're listening, you come out. You know what I'm talking about. You know who you are. You meet me in the parking lot about midnight. Mm-hmm. All right?
Good time.
Whatever. Stop by OG, get you a highball, up to my room, smoke a joint. Whatever happens, happens.
Oh, my God. Beth, 20.
Yeah.
Hi, Beth.
Hi.
What's up?
Not much. Who's this?
Drew.
Is this Drew?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I have a question.
Well, good.
Okay. My question is, after I have sex and my boyfriend doesn't wear a condom, he orgasms inside of me, and then it always comes back out.
Right.
So is that, I just want to know if that was normal.
Yep.
It happens to everyone?
It happens to everyone.
Well,
okay.
I mean, what if... You got to figure, right? I mean, you stand up, right?
Where do you?
Well, I didn't know, like, if it does.
Oh.
If it stayed, I don't know.
Where do you think it went?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've never heard anybody say anything about it or anything before, so. I
didn't
know if it was normal.
You ever heard people talk about the wet spot?
Oh, okay.
All right.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's part of what they're talking about.
So for you, it's on the bath mat.
Right.
But yeah, that's normal. No problems there.
Okay.
It's good times.
It's good times. Yeah.
It's nice too. It doesn't just drip out. It hugs the contour of the leg and goes all the way down till it actually turns on the instep and actually goes into your arch.
Nice. This is John 25.
Hi, John. I have a question.
Hi, said, Drew and Adam.
He said hi, gentlemen.
I thought he said John.
That's what I thought, too. But he said, hi, gentlemen. Go, what's up?
Basically, I did some dating through the internet a while ago. About 8 months ago, I went on a couple dates. And
what does that mean? You mean you met someone on a chat room or something?
No, it's basically they have some, like, personal websites where you put your picture and your profile and things that you're interested in. People send you messages. And, you exchange emails and... You know, you might go out on a date or something like that.
So there's somebody who lives in your vicinity.
Yes.
And you go out and you meet them after you've communicated online.
Yeah, if you choose to.
All right, okay.
And I did that a couple times.
How'd it work?
Nothing special, nothing terrible or anything.
All
but,
right.
You know, for me, it's a good way to meet people.
Okay.
At least I think it is because you can list your interests.
All right, that's what happened now.
Okay, well... A girl started sending me messages, and she lived in another country.
Mm-hmm.
And we started just sending emails, and we kind of became pen pals, I guess, over the internet. And after a few months of that, I started calling her and talking, and I had a vacation coming up, so I went to visit her.
She speaks English?
Yeah, she speaks English.
Where does she live?
Bulgaria.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I love her, and I've been over there twice. And,
Bulgaria.
Yeah.
In what period of time have you gone over there?
Excuse me?
In what period of time have you been there twice?
1700s and then again during the Revolution.
Yeah. Right.
In the last about 5 months, I've been over there twice. The first time I went over there for only a week, it was all the time that I really had. And I just went over there I was there for about 3 months or 3 weeks, and I got back about a month ago.
How old is she?
She's 22.
Does she love you?
Yes.
All right. Well.
And I just want to know if I'm crazy.
Yeah, but it's
a little, but all right.
Hi, John.
Wait a minute.
They just replayed that. Just,
yeah, he said hi, John, right?
Yeah, I did. John's not my real name, so I was like.
I know, but Drew, why do you even attempt to correct me that way?
All right.
Hi, John.
Okay. All right. I said hi, gentlemen. Hey, we got to take a break.
Okay.
Let's give John our blessing and go.
You have my blessing.
Yeah, it's all right. It's a little weird and it's difficult to maintain something like that, but it sounds like you're sort of going about it in a reasonably healthy way, and so now you got to go live in the same city for a little while.
Drew, I want you to know something that when I thought he said John and you said gentleman,
yeah,
I thought about fighting for a second.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, you're far away. Maybe you got a bad connection and you're in some other studio. And then I thought, no, I could never be wrong about what I heard. And then I thought, oh, give it up. Just let it go. Maybe you were wrong. Just move on. Now that's it.
Never again.
Never, ever again.
Sorry, Drew. Thank you, Anderson. Appreciate it. All right, it's Loveline.
We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. I'm in Las Vegas tonight. Drew back in Southern California. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew?
Mm-hmm. Here we are.
Mm-hmm. Got some calls lined up, do you?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about how sort of agitated you get about the studio here and how the facilities sort of disturb you. And yet when you're out in a nice studio, you don't seem any less agitated.
Mm-hmm.
You just focus on different things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A good time. Here we go.
Noted. Noted.
Ian, 19.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's going on?
Well, I got a question, man.
All right.
Okay. I don't really talk to my mother anymore. We kind of had like a little separation thing a few years ago.
Why?
Well, we're kind of like two different people. It's like, I'm pretty much exactly like my father. And she's like, they're not married anymore. We got divorced a long, long time ago.
So because you remind her of your father, she rejects you?
Well, in a way, I guess. But
you know, why don't you stop speculating on what she's experiencing and just tell us exactly what happened?
Hey, my phone's cutting out.
Man, good times.
Yeah, all right, man. Well, I guess I'll just get y'all some other time then.
What do you mean it's cutting out?
My phone is dying.
All right. You don't want to finish the conversation real quick?
I don't think it's going to last, bro.
All right. Sorry, and you take care now.
You too, buddy.
This is really something that no one had to deal with some years ago, which is that battery going dead.
Yeah.
And, you know, the phone battery, when it goes dead, sometimes it beeps for 10 minutes, and sometimes it beeps 1.5 times and then cuts out.
There's no convention for that.
No, I would, you know what I would like? I would like the intervals of the beeps to get shorter as it got closer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Some phones do that.
Do they?
Yeah.
Gotta find me one of them phones.
Ashley, 18.
Yes. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
When I was 5, my parents got divorced, and I lived with my dad. And since then, my mom has been dating all kinds of guys that are alcoholics and beat on her and all that. And in February, she moved in with my grandmother. And she was doing real good for a couple of months. And then she got into a motorcycle club, started hanging out with the wrong guys.
Wow.
How old was she when she got into the motorcycle club living at Grandma's house?
She is fixing to be 39.
Fixing to be 39, Adam. That's about what you're fixing to be, isn't it?
I'm fixing. I'm not fucked yet, but I'm fixing to be 39. One of these days, yes.
So Ashley's mom is your contemporary.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
Well, you know, I'm thinking about moving in with my mom and joining a motorcycle gang myself, so it's not too far off.
All right, and so what's happening?
Okay, she's an alcoholic.
Right.
She does crack. Mm. She does pills.
Good times.
And, yeah. And in June, she was doped up on Xanax and decided to fix some fried chicken and forgot about it. Went outside to mow, and the house burned down.
Mm. Yep. You got to watch them fried chicken fires when you're living that close to the edge.
Good thing, Adam, that house had only one wall.
Lincoln's house had more walls.
That's right.
All right, turn that down, Anderson.
In July, the next month, she got into a very bad motorcycle accident with
Get to the point here. What's the question?
Okay, well, I need to know how to help her. She's getting out of the hospital Friday.
She's been in treatment.
Yes.
And do you live now in the vicinity where she lives?
No, I moved to Tucson about 3 months ago. She's in Lufkin, Texas.
Wait a minute. She's getting out of the hospital for drugs or for motorcycle accidents?
Motorcycle accidents. She's been in there since July.
Yeah.
She was close to death. And now she's talking about going back and hanging out with her buddies and getting drunk and doing crack again.
Yeah. See, Drew, you thought she was in there for treatment.
Right. Well.
Shows what you know.
Ashley, here, there's two things you can do. You can go to Al-Anon and work a program, and you can try to get her into a treatment center. And short of that, there's not a lot else you can do.
She's been in rehab a couple of times, but it hasn't helped.
Well, you need to go and participate in the family sessions. You need to make sure, you need to find a way to leverage her to make sure that she somehow participates, does what she's supposed to do. It's hard right now because she doesn't want to. She doesn't care.
Yeah. Well, maybe if you have something that she values, that she like her leather fringed vest or something like that.
No, Adam, what,
hold it until what?
She needs to go have a baby. Then there'll be a grandchild in the mix here, and that's where Ashley will have her power base.
Right, and she'll be living not at her mom's, but at Ashley's or Ashley's child's great grandmother's house, and then it'll feel weird.
Yeah,
I don't know. Do they even? They don't live in the same. State?
No,
this
is in Texas. Ashley's in Arizona.
I don't know. I think the best thing Ashley could do is move on with her life.
Yeah.
Just go to Al-Anon and get your life together. And just, you know, really, Drew, you know what a great legacy a parent can leave a child, even one that hasn't left?
Yeah.
Is, I mean, think about this concept for a second. You feel like you want to do something for your mother. You don't want to feel like her life was in vain.
Yeah.
But if you use her life as an example of what not to do, like not to get into drugs, not to get with abusive guys, it encourages you somehow to go to Al-Anon, stay in school, have a career, have a family, have a stable life.
Yes,
then
yes.
In a way, her life is not in vain.
You're right. However, that never happens.
No.
Oh, good.
All right.
Why shouldn't? Maybe she can be an inspiration for somebody other than her daughter, how not to be. Like some of our callers, some of our listeners, you know?
Yeah, I should start an organization called Catholic Bad Big Brothers.
Badass Brothers.
Yeah, well, you just look at this guy and you go, oh, boy.
Yeah.
But wait a minute. You know, I've done this quite successfully with my own family. I mean, I took a look at many of the things they did and decided not to do them.
You're right, but you coupled that with 10 years of therapy.
It's not clear
that you could have done that without it.
Well, why was I in therapy?
Because you wanted to learn how to not be like your family.
All right, but what don't I get credit for going? You think a therapist just showed up at the job site?
No. But I just think you can't, some of these things, you can't just look at a family member and go, oh, I don't want to be like that.
But they can motivate you to take steps to not be like that. One of those steps could be therapy.
I totally agree with you, but I just think in our culture we have a myth that you decide not to be something and you're not going to be it. It takes a little more work than that. And then your point is well taken that, yes, there are things you need to do and you need to follow directions of people that know how to help you get from point A to point B, which is point A is where your family is, point B is where you want to go.
I'd like to get to C, actually.
What's there? Well, you're there now. The strip club tonight is point C for you.
I'd like to have, like, a nice one-letter buffer between me and the family.
Oh, I see.
You know, if they're at A, I don't want to be at B. I'd like to be at C.
Got it. All right.
Have the B sort of act as a border.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Liam, 24.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good.
Yeah, you guys I really want to say that I love your show.
Thank you.
And both of you guys do an excellent job every night.
God bless.
Thanks.
Hello?
Yep.
Just wanted to say that my night class has a few people that I'm interested in.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how to approach them because I'm sort of gay.
Sort of gay.
Yeah.
Like sort of pregnant.
That's right.
That's good. Let me ask you something.
Okay.
You know, does Liam give you an interesting sort of feeling just talking to him? Are you aware of him?
No.
Okay.
I mean, he doesn't give me a effed up feeling.
Right.
He gives me a sort of healthy feeling.
Right. And so I would bet Liam born gay. You know what I'm saying? This is the biology gay.
Mm-hmm. Born gay. The life is to live gay. Yes. I don't get that vibe that some uncle diddled you and screwed up your compass and now you're gay.
No, nothing like that happened.
Yeah, there's a whole discussion about whether being homosexual has a biological basis to it or not. And there's certainly biological correlates. There are things we see in the brain of a gay male that's slightly different than a heterosexual male. But I believe somebody like Liam, that's just his brain. They just did some studies on sheep that showed this change, in fact. So there you go. Liam, the real thing.
Wait a minute. What studies did they do on sheep?
Yes, they did it.
What studies?
They are gay sheep.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they're able to take their brains out and look at them. They did, and they were different. Right in the same region of the hippocampus, or the hypothalamus that we've been looking at in humans. What?
How do they know the gay sheep from the straight sheep?
I kind of wondered that myself, but they will only monkey with other male sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Exclusively.
Mm-hmm. All right, so they're interested they're interested in other sheep, so they decide these sheep are gay. So when the sheep die, do they kill the sheep or they wait for the sheep to die?
I suspect they kill them.
They kill the sheep.
They sacrifice them.
Because they're gay?
Yeah.
Because they're gay.
That's it, Anderson.
Another instance of brutality toward homosexuality. Horrible, Drew. So they kill them. They examine the brain, and the brain looks the same as the gay humans that they killed to examine their brain, right?
There's a change, a difference in the same region, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, do they kill the humans to get at their brains?
Sure.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Hey, Liam?
Yes?
Watch what you say, because if you come out of the closet in front of a scientist, he may take your head with him back to the lab.
So, you want to know how to sort of come out to your peers, or what is it you're asking exactly?
Well, I just wanted to know how I could approach some people that I've eyed in class. And just
How's your gaydar? Can you tell whether or not they're gay?
Well, it's pretty good.
So you think those guys are gay?
I don't know. You know, it's kind of hard for me to tell because I talk to them only irregularly, you know, not really frequently, and I just kind of sensed it a little bit once in a while. And, you know, plus I'm single, so I'm looking for that type of thing. And I couldn't really detect it, you know, completely, but I could notice that there was a possibility, and I don't know if they were.
Well, just like any other date, just kind of ask to go hang out, get some coffee, or do homework together or something. I mean, can't you?
Well, yeah, but it's not the sort of thing you just, you know, bring up. You're like, hi, I'm gay. Are you?
No, but if you spend some time with the guy, you'll start to get more of a sense of what's going on. I mean, it's just a matter of trying to find a way to spend time alone.
Yeah.
What class is it?
It's a business class.
Uh-huh.
MBE.
It seems, here's what I would do if I was gay, Drew.
Mm, yeah.
First, I would celebrate. Then I would kick my wife right out of the house. Then I would move in with Jimmy.
Yeah.
But then the fourth thing I would do is I would find a group of gays. You know what I'm saying?
You mean a support, a home base?
Yeah, you know, let me tell you something about the gays. They don't use support groups for support groups. It's not like adult children of alcoholics or women who've been raped or molestation survivors. They use support groups to get BJs.
Right, right.
Do you understand?
Like
they hook up
like
with
any,
guys, and,
yeah,
like and they know it's game on.
Right.
Yeah, here's 25 guys. Everyone's gay. Let's, gentlemen, start your engines.
Right, right.
I would look for that group. Now, I don't know if it's an actual gay group or just a group of gay guys. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But that's the group I would want to find so I could find out who was gay.
Hmm.
Well, see, that's only in a fantasy world. That doesn't, you know?
Yeah, that's my gay fantasy
world.
That's
Adam's fantasy.
Well, I mean, do they have anything at school? Because otherwise you're just not going to know.
There are organizations on campus like the Rainbow Students Union and all that stuff, but I'm sort of in the closet too about it, so it makes it difficult for me to just come out and like.
Are you ashamed of it?
I'm sort of wary of how people would react to that.
I don't know what the answer is for picking up guys in your class if you don't know they're gay.
Yeah.
You got to find a way to spend time with them, whether it's doing homework or projects or coffee.
Yeah, but even then you don't know if they're gay.
Then you don't know, but I would think he'd get a sense of it. You know.
But what are the chances they're going to be gay?
Listen, a gay male has to sort of hone his skill at figuring that out. And I'm sure Liam is better at it than you or I are.
Well, I've tried that several times where I just go out with it and like ask him flat out, are you gay? And I got really negative responses the last few times. And
so you have bad judgment of this.
Right? Yeah, I have pretty bad judgment about it.
Ooh. Do you have
gay group?
Other gay friends that you can sort of, you know?
They're not in my close circle of friends, but, you know, it's, I could go to them and ask them, you know, how can I do all this and stuff, but it wouldn't be the same, I don't think.
Gay bar,
yeah.
Well, this is why when I'm in charge, I'm going to make sure that all gays are clearly labeled.
Yeah, like sneeches.
Yeah, not only for the gays, but for the redneck bigots who want to beat them up.
Good times. So Liam's fine. Liam is good. I think he needs, like any other single person looking for a healthy relationship, meet people, have people set him up, that kind of thing. Nate is 26.
Hello.
Hey, Nate.
I wanted to know what you guys think about Senator Wellstone's death. Would you entertain the idea that he was assassinated?
No.
No?
We are the
political control in the Senate.
We are the anti-conspiracy.
Yeah,
guys.
Can you expound on that?
Huh?
Can you expound on that?
Well, we're not big fans of conspiracies. Well, you hear a lot of them. You hear them ranging. I mean, they've gone on historically forever. And they're always floating around out there. But they're sort of like Sasquatch, you know?
Yeah, they never...
Everyone's got some ideas, and then there's people who say they have, like, eyewitness testimony and accounts, but it never seems to materialize. Right.
They don't really exist. And if people were that good at creating conspiracies and were that organized and consistently did that kind of thing, we'd see history would be peppered with these sorts of things, and they really aren't.
Hmm. And also, I got to believe if you're trying to take somebody out, do you take out an entire aircraft full of innocent people as well? I mean, it really...
No witnesses, perfect alibi.
I know, but you're suggesting that who? Someone in the Republican Party decided to take an airplane full of innocent civilians and family members?
And by the way, the Republicans... Not necessarily the whole party, maybe.
And by the way, Republicans were... Hey, Nate, you're assuming the Republicans believe they were going to do well in the elections that we just had. They didn't. As though one vote would have made the difference in control of the Senate. No, they didn't. They surprised by what they did. Please. I don't know. The other thing I don't like, Adam, about conspiracy theories are the people that maintain them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. They're all the guy who owns the comic book store in The Simpsons.
Yes. And they're all angry, and they all have the same character logic flaw, frankly. And
yeah. I know. And they never get laid.
No.
If they got nobody who gets any consistent tale has it one conspiracy theory.
Nor would they look at the world as a place where people could have the time for that sort of thing.
Right, because they know that guys are busy trying to get laid not down aircrafts. But the other thing that's unfair about the conspiracy theorists are, and what I don't like about them is they never conclusively prove anything.
No.
They just use this as an excuse and fuel to keep their sort of hatred going or their cynicism going.
Yes.
And it never goes away because it can never be proven away.
That's right.
In their eyes.
Right.
So it gives them an excuse to sort of feel a certain way about a certain group and act a certain way toward a certain group. And it'll never go away because no one can ever convince them it happened, even though, or didn't happen, even though there's never any real conclusive evidence.
The other thing that I see all the time is with people who have more significant psychiatric disturbances, thought disturbances, they always have just intense conspiracy notions. Conspiracy is sort of a feeling state. The people are planning and looking and watching. And boy, you give them the right medication, magically those conspiracy theories melt away. So right. It's a mindset as much as anything. This is Brad, 15.
Yeah. I'm calling from Portland, and
beautiful.
I got a question about masturbation. I masturbate like 2 to 3 times a day when I come home from school, and was wondering if this is normal between teenagers.
No!
Adam, is that about right?
I know 2 to 3?
That's a little light in your book.
Seems a little light, yeah. 15?
Yeah.
He'll step it up around 17.
I'd like to see you step it up, yeah. It's not a bad start. No reason to hang your head. Don't get down on yourself. But if it's not up to 4 to 5 times a day by, let's say, a year from now, call the show back.
Okay. All right, Brad.
Okay.
Good times. He sounds very convinced. This is now Jeremy, 15. Jeremy?
Yeah?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey.
Go ahead.
Well, me and my girlfriend were just getting into a serious relationship, and it's going to be like my first time having oral sex, and I'm a little uncomfortable about my size.
You were not 14. You were not 15.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
When were you born?
What year?
When were you born?
When? 89.
That's 14
what date?
Or 13,
what's the date?
Isn't it?
What's the date?
July 11th.
Okay, that means it's going to turn. I mean, he's going to turn 14?
What?
He's going to turn 13.
Do that math.
Going to turn 13, 14, yeah. Right? Going to turn 14. So you're 13 now.
Yeah.
Yeah, not 15.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Let me pick another estimate. 12, right, Jeremy?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
I just get rid of him. All right, see you, buddy. Right. See you in hell.
Let's take a break.
Try to pull one over on the Drew man.
What? What's the matter?
They try to pull one over.
Oh, no,
you?
They don't want. They think he's so cute. In the peanut gallery here, Ann and Tara do not want to get rid of Jeremy.
Well, he lied.
It's all right, we'll bring him on. He sounded nice enough. Brian says, he's gone.
But here's the question.
Anderson took him out.
Good. What's his question?
He was concerned about his size.
I know, but that was based on him being 15, having a girlfriend, and beginning a career of oral sex. Instead, he's 12 and has no girlfriend.
Right. We could have.
So now, what's his question?
I know.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, good times.
What are you going
to
do?
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, Drew, who do we got?
Well, let's see. Let's try Tom, who's 33. Tom?
Yeah.
What's up?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, I got a good question for you. I quit smoking pot about, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks ago. And my girlfriend tells me that ever since I quit smoking pot, that when she swallows, it doesn't taste good anymore.
Okay. Was she smoking pot with you?
No, she's totally opposed.
Maybe when he got stoned and smoked pot, he ate a lot of Smarties and Razzles and other forms of candy confection that sweetened up his seed.
Yeah. I don't know.
It gets in your bloodstream, right?
The pot?
Yeah.
I mean, it might affect the taste somewhat.
Wouldn't it just taste like a bong water?
Well, there's certain drugs that actually are excreted in a rather concentrated way in the semen, like amphetamine, and maybe she was getting high, and that's what made things taste good.
I would say when he quit smoking the weed, I bet his diet changed.
Yeah, I bet. This is now John, 21.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, I'm 21, and I want to know why it's wrong to have sex with a 16-year-old.
Well, aside from its legal issue... it's bad for her.
It's bad for her? Why?
Because 15, 16-year-olds are thinking differently about relationships than a 21-year-old. They process differently. Their expectation is different. They've not had as much experience. When they have a sexual encounter, it's very intense. It bonds them intensely to that person. And a 21-year-old that would stoop to being with that person is victimizing them, basically, exploiting
them. Well, you use the term stoop, you know?
Because you're exploiting them. And so that's that you're stooping because you're exploiting someone. Either, and if your position is, well, they're into it, they really, of course they are, because they have issues. They need what they perceive to be somebody that's powerful and bigger and make them feel more secure, and that's exploiting that weakness.
So you're coming from a psychological point of view then?
I'm coming from the point of view of what's good and not good for 15-year-olds.
Well, what other point of view would he come from?
I'm coming from a sociobiological view. Let's talk about E.O. Wilson.
All right.
What? The guy's middle name is effing?
Yeah, exactly. Good times. I know. What is up with tonight?
Well, look, here's the deal. I don't exactly look at it as rape when a 21-year-old is with a 16-year-old, but, and, you know, I'm a atheist who doesn't have tons of moral values, but... It's a little out there. I don't mind 18, maybe even 19. 21's not great. And I agree with Drew that it's really the women we worry about, obviously, not the guys. And now what's the difference between a 16-year-old guy being with a 6-year-old girl, Drew, and a 21-year-old? You know what I mean?
Yeah, the 6-year-old guy's in a sort of different place. It's a brain development issue. But what the case he's going to make is that, well, you know, in nature, we'd have the older male copulating with the younger female and that their sort of prime reproductive ages would be under 21. Yeah, something to that. However, it's a different time, and we're not in nature, and there's different sort of developmental needs in terms of being able to have stable relationships. And more importantly, there's a big difference between 15 and 16. And 16 and 17. And a 21-year-old with a 17-year-old is like, whatever. Not that big a deal. Not good for the girl, but not as big a deal as a 15-year-old.
But it's mainly that we don't really trust the 21-year-old guy who decides to do it, namely guys like John.
That's right. He's exploiting her and not giving her what she thinks she's going to get. And it's not a good thing for her.
Right.
All right. So we're now going to go to Steve, who's 17.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, I have a question. I'm about 5'6", and I weigh about 110.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I eat like a pig, and I sit on my butt all day, but I don't really gain any weight.
Oh, you will. Just wait a couple years.
Yeah. I'm skinny as a pickle.
Could be a lot of years.
Okay, how come everybody else, like, my age is, like, 140, 150, and I'm still, like, this small?
That's your genetics. Mm-hmm. That's the gene.
Yeah.
You've had a medical.
Why are some guys 300 pounds?
Right. You just make sure you have a medical evaluation. There are things that can stunt growth, whatnot, but I doubt you have anything like that. So,
you know, we don't really, you know, it's funny. We always punish fat people for eating too much.
Yeah.
Like, it's always amusing to people.
Mm-hmm.
People tell us, you see a fat guy pull out a candy bar and start eating it. It's like, look at him. Look at him. I mean, you know, it's a prime source of amusement for most people. But what about super skinny guys? I mean, we never really accuse them of not eating.
That's right.
We understand that's just their genetics.
That's right. Adriana?
And we don't, and let me say this too, Drew.
Yeah? Hold on a second. Adam's not done.
I'm not done. When a skinny guy says, and there can be, I mean, we've all known these guys. Skinny is a rail. I mean, like, you're seeing, like, veins in their stomach and stuff,
right,
you know?
Right.
And they go, hey, man, what can I tell you? I eat junk food. I pig out at all hours of the day and night. I don't exercise. I don't know. And we never question the guy. We're just like, yeah, all right. But when a fat guy says, I don't eat that much,
right,
and I walk every morning, we're like,
Sure
you do, Lardo. You have another Twinkie, Lardo. What are those Twinkies filled with? Are they filled with cream or lies? Why are we so cruel that way, Drew?
I don't have an answer for that, but we certainly are.
Okay.
Fuels are...
It's that tribe. It's that sacrifice thing.
Exactly. Adriana.
Yeah?
What's up?
Hi, my question is that me and my boyfriend have been going out for like a year, a little bit more than a year, mm-hmm. and we've had sex since like, what, nine months ago? Mm-hmm. And he, at first he was like really into it, and now he doesn't even want to do it.
How old is he?
19.
What do you mean doesn't want to do it?
Well, it's like lucky enough if we do it like once a week.
One time a week.
Yeah, and like every time I ask him about him, he like accuses me like saying that our relationship is not based on sex and whatnot.
Hmm. Fat.
True, what? Please.
Nice angle on her on his part. Doesn't work. Is he on any medication?
He's on Paxil.
Okay, well, that's why he's all shut down, Adriana.
Really?
That will really shut you down. It make sex seem kind of uncomfortable and not necessary, make it difficult to have an orgasm, difficult to have an erection. So he may want to go back to his doctor.
He has been like, he doesn't last long.
Yeah, well, really, even in spite of being on the Paxil?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, that's interesting.
Bad times.
Well, he got on it, and then he got off of it. And when he barely got on it, that's when he started, like, not lasting at all.
Well, that's interesting. That's not usually the what Paxil does, but it can change sexual functioning quite a bit. You may want to have him talk to his doctor about maybe switching to something like Cerazone or Wellbutrin or Remeron, because those don't have those sexual side effects.
Mm-hmm.
And so probably the reason there's been a big change is the medication he's taking.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's, like, really nothing I can do, right?
Well, again, the first thing is to try to get him to change medications to something that doesn't do this to him. Mm-hmm. If in spite of that change, let's say he changes to something else and still has this problem, maybe it's just his rhythm. Some people are just, you know, they're less sexually oriented than others. How many times?
Well, Adriana, are you that horny or are you just bothered by the fact that he's not that horny?
Both.
How often do you want to have it?
What?
How often do you want to do it?
Probably twice a week is good enough.
Right, twice a week is normal.
Yeah, I'm not asking for, like, every day, you know?
I just think she doesn't like the idea that he doesn't want to be intimate with her.
Well, there's that, and sometimes people, when the partner is not sort of attending to their needs and sort of empathic with them, you know what I mean? If they're sort of dismissive of an important part of themselves that's really a tender part of themselves that hurts to be rejected. Right. It can be troublesome. It can be troublesome, especially when you can't explain it, when it used to be good and all of a sudden it's shut down. And here's a reason, possibly the pharmacologic effect of that drug. All right?
Yep, thank you.
All right, good luck.
Yeah, good times. Good times.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Steve. He is 20.
Hello?
Hey, Steve.
Hi, John. Sorry, that was a joke. Never mind.
Yeah, it's good.
Kind of an icebreaker. Anyway, pleasure speaking to you guys. Appreciate you taking my call.
Sure, Steve-o. What's up?
Well, here's my question.
What can we do you for tonight?
I guess I got to open you off with a little bit of a prologue. When I was about 9, 10, my older sister, who's about 8 years older than me, she molested me.
She was 18 and you were 10?
Yeah.
What did she do exactly?
It was somewhere around there. It's really actually kind of hazy. It's the big lapse.
What did she do?
Well, aside from physical abuse, she beat me up all the time. And she also, I mean, she weighs a lot more than me. She's morbidly obese. Huh. And,
No, wait a minute. This really sounds like one of our crank anchor calls at this point.
No way. I wouldn't lie about something like this. Not.
Now, how much does she weigh?
I honestly don't know. I don't talk to her all that much anymore. She's, I don't know, got to. She has to weigh close to 300.
Wow.
I had to estimate.
Wow.
And so she had sex with you when you were?
No. Oh, God, no. Thank
you. Well, I thought you said molest.
She did. She molested me. She
means what?
She'd like, you know, she'd rub herself on me. She'd, you know, just inappropriate stuff. And like I said, it's kind of a lapse. I just blocked that out of my head.
You
know, stuff I don't want to think about anymore.
And you said she physically abused you also?
She did.
Okay.
And she's about 28 now, and I guess what adds to the frustration is the fact that she tries to mother me about it now. She doesn't necessarily really apologize for what she did, but she kind of, you know, just kind of alludes to what she did, but doesn't really, you know, it just becomes no conclusion, and she never really changes the way she lives. She's just really messed up. But, The harsh reality is the fact that when she moved into the house, I did the same thing to my younger sister, who's 2 years younger than me.
2 years younger? And
2 years younger, yeah.
What did you do?
You were how old when you did this?
I was about 9 or 10.
So immediately you turned around and did this to the 8-year-old?
Yeah, the minute, like, pretty much 3 weeks after my sister moved out.
Now, what did you do exactly?
I'd really rather not disclose. I mean, I know what I did, and I know it was wrong. And my sister and I talked about it for, you know, we're cool. We had a big, long talk with my parents there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we just talked it out. Yeah, it was a rough time. And this is something I wasn't able to come out and talk about until this summer.
Right. Okay.
This is what happened.
All right.
And, you know, it's tough. But I'm getting to the age, I mean, I'm 20. And it's getting to the point where I really want to go out and I want to, you know, start dating. Because as a result of all of this stuff, I have a really skewed self-image.
Right.
Obviously. And there's zero confidence on my part. None.
Okay.
It's just not there. And so I was just wondering, I just, you know, wanted your advice on the situation because just I've never been on a date. I'm still a virgin. And, haven't even gotten a girl's phone number for crying out, you know. And I was just wondering if you guys had any advice for me as to how.
All right,
you know,
Drew, put him on hold. His phone line's bothering me.
All right, go ahead.
Well, it's pretty brave of you to really you know, confront all these issues and get into it with the family and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like he's sort of on the road to recovery. They probably need a little therapy for what he's been through.
Yeah, he just wants some sort of direction on how to get going in the dating world, and there really is no cookbook for that. He just needs to put himself in the line, asking people out, get rejected a bunch of times, and get some skill with this. It is a skill, and it requires practice, and it is kind of a painful thing to get going. The issue with your self-esteem, though, is something that's much more difficult to build. I think you will generally find, with the kind of emptiness you were describing, that you will create sort of a false self that gets something of what you need from people, but you probably hide behind that. And if you really want to deal with the consequences of the kind of trauma you've been through, it pretty much requires therapy to get through it. So,
yeah, but as a guy, I'll give the same advice to him as I give to anybody else, which any other guy, especially 20-year-old guy. Get going with the rest of your life. Start moving with the dating, too, but part of your dating life as a guy is getting going with other stuff.
Yeah.
Career, school, stuff involving making money, getting out, getting on your own, getting a decent place, getting a decent set of wheels, all that kind of stuff. It's all going to contribute to the dating. So don't separate the two.
Right.
Do all that stuff first and foremost. Continue doing that stuff. And then while you're doing that stuff, start asking girls out.
But
You'll take your lumps. It doesn't matter.
But if that doesn't give you an adequate sense of self-worth or esteem, then that's time for therapy.
All right.
All right.
Take a little break here.
All right.
Well, it's time for therapy anyway.
I know.
All right. We'll be right back. Line. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. I'm over here in Las Vegas. Drew is out there in Los Angeles. And,
what? 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 Oh, it's okay, buddy.
Well, I was supposed to drive one of the cars we had here tonight over to the station. Mm-hmm. When we do Crank Yankers, we rent a couple of cars.
Yeah.
They do. They put them in the valet, and then you got to give them the right name. And I wasn't sure what name they were under. And then they kept checking, and then they said both cars are gone.
Life is so difficult for you, isn't it? It's such a hassle.
It is a hassle.
You got to be at the Four Seasons, the valets. Coming up with the right name.
No, I came up with the right name, and they looked and said they were both gone, which I don't believe they were both gone, but I don't know what to tell them because I gave them the two names, and they said the cars were both taken out. So I hailed a cab, and then before... And these cab drivers in Vegas, oh, my God.
They're all tweaking.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
They're all like... You know what they are? They're like all 55-year-old blonde, sun-blasted women with hacking coughs, you know? And they say, you know, and they're strange. Like, it really makes you miss the L.A. and New York just foreign cab driver just keeps to himself. Like, you jump in the car, and her first words out of her mouth is, you smell anything weird in here? And I said, I wanted to say, you know... you know, beside the normal sort of potpourri of death and Christmas and Christmas tree air fresheners. No. A couple of guys were in here a few minutes ago. I asked they mind if they light it up. So I said, fine. And they lit up a joint. I told them to put it out, but they wouldn't listen. I was like, well, I'm cool with that. Then I told them where I needed to go. I'm like, I'm going on West Sahara and Jones. And she goes, how do you want to get there?
Oh, no.
I said, well, I was kind of hoping you'd have some suggestions. Well, I don't, you know, like, how about the freeway? Fair enough. You know, it's like.
There's two other types, too. There's two. There's the tweaking young guy, which have always given me the scariest cab rides on earth. I've been this tweaker Las Vegas cab driver. And there's the 60-year-old guy that's been there since 1932. And wants to tell you about what it was like when the strip didn't exist and this street wasn't here. And
yeah, when I came into town, up midtown was downtown, downtown was midtown, and the front of the strip was Los Angeles.
That's
right. And I was like, oh, okay, old timer. Yeah, I like that guy, and the guy tells you why. Where are you from? Los Angeles. Lived there 12 years, had to move.
Got out of there, thank God.
Earthquakes, gangbangers, riots, no thank you. I'm like, yeah, I'll be going back about 8 a.m. tomorrow morning to raise my kids. Thanks, Pops.
Yeah, suit yourself.
So I said to her before I got out of the cab, hey, you got a number of a card or something? You know, because I need to put a call in, get a cab out here. And she scrawled down a number that looked like someone who was done like 30 grams of speed would do, and I can't make out like three of the seven numbers that are on here, and I just tried to call and I couldn't get through.
No,
so.
No. So let's
I'm gonna try to find a cab. Yeah,
Tanya, 19. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hi. Okay. This might sound kind of weird, but I've been having sex with my boyfriend for about a year now, and I don't know if I've ever had an orgasm. Like, I don't know what it's supposed to feel like, but I don't know.
And that usually means you haven't had one.
How will I know whenever I do?
As most people will explain it, you'll know.
Oh! Mm-hmm. Oh, God!
It can feel very, very good without it, but ultimately there's a distinct sort of release experience, climax, it's called, that is sort of unmistakable, and people aren't confused once they've had that.
Okay, so I know that, like, guys will let their stuff out or whatever.
Yeah, that's how you can tell a guy's having one of those, yes. They'll let their stuff out, yes.
Well, does anything happen to the girls? Like, is that the whole climax thing?
No, usually women don't produce anything.
I don't think we're going to let anything out, but...
They can. There is such a thing, but usually they don't.
Not too often.
Yeah.
Hey, Anderson, let me ask you a favor. I want to call. I got this cab number here. Found the cab number.
Well, you're done?
I like to call them.
Oh, right
and,
now.
Get them over here. But I would like Anderson to use virtual Adam on the next caller so that I can call these people.
Yeah, well, but wait, you got to call them from your end.
Wait, let's talk to Tiffany first. Adam, here. Tiffany, 20.
No, I'm calling them. Wait a minute.
He wants you to use the virtual Adam drops for this call. So yeah. He can go call the cab company.
Oh, I thought you meant for the cab. I got you. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, are you kidding me?
We talked to Tiffany. She needs a couple guys
point
to
be radio.
First. Tiffany, what's the deal?
Virtual Adam. Virtual
no, Adam. Sure. Oh, come on. Just give her a couple.
Let me just get these guys en route, all right?
All right.
She's fine. She'll have an all right. There you go.
No, it's a new one. New caller. Tiffany, yeah.
We just talked. Virtual Adam.
Okay. Hello?
Yeah, hi.
All right.
Strangely, she has the same phone. She's speaking from the exact same phone that Tanya was speaking from. Go ahead.
All right. I'm married. I'm 20 years old. Yeah. And we have a one-year-old kid, a little girl.
Good times.
Yeah. And we don't have sex as much as we used to. And he wants it more. But my question is, how many times a week does your average guy need to have sex?
Does he need to, or is he actually doing it?
The
average, and you guys are kind of young, so you should be at the high end of that average, is about twice a week.
He's a big boy.
Really?
Yeah. What are you guys doing?
Maybe once a week. Sometimes not at all, like for a couple weeks.
What are you going to do?
Have you had a depression or anything since the delivery of your baby?
No, not really. I mean, I've gained a little weight, and I haven't lost it all yet. And I mean, maybe that has a little bit to do with it.
Hey, it takes all kinds.
You don't feel sexual now, right?
Yeah, well, when we have sex, it's great. I mean, it's wonderful. It's the best sex we've ever had.
That's why you make the big bucks.
Are you still breastfeeding?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's why I make the big bucks.
Are you on any medication?
No.
It's ridiculous.
Thank you, Adam.
Oh, you're still breastfeeding. That's why I make the big bucks. We got to fix this. Hey, good news.
What?
I just stepped out.
He's a big boy.
There was a guy walking around looking in windows, and he said, "Hey, Adam Carolla, I'm a cab driver."
Oh.
So he's waiting out front for me.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's a good times, yeah.
Yeah, good times.
Oh, boy.
Tiffany, once a week is pretty good, especially after within your first year of delivery. Women have a drop commonly in their sexual drive. There's also always obviously the stress of taking care of a kid. Sometimes there can be a depression overlying that, a postpartum depression that can make things even worse. So once a week, you're still doing pretty good. You're still enjoying it. You're still having normal arousal. Probably he'd be happier if you stepped it up a little bit.
Okay.
All right. And be sensitive to the fact that that's just his biological drive, and he sort of feels that you're not attending to that when you don't sort of accept that those are his needs. Just like if you weren't helping him, I don't know, do you serve him dinners? Do you have meals with him every night?
Well, he works during the day, and I
mean, do you like having him meals with him and sharing meals? Like, it's that same kind of thing, guys. Guys feel the same way sometimes about their sexuality. They just need you to sort of acknowledge that they have some needs and to sort of participate with them a little bit.
What are you going to do?
That's why, Adam, you make the big bucks.
Oh, this is great, Drew.
That's why I make the big bucks.
Dude, if I turn up missing.
Yeah.
Have them start in the desert just south of Nevada.
All right, well, I'm going to call you.
All right. So, listen, you mop up for
I
me,
will.
Would you, buddy?
Good time.
I'm going to hop in the hack and love you all.
All right.
And we'll be back after this.
Well, that about does it for Loveline. We will begin the search of the floor of the Las Vegas desert for Mr. Carolla. Commence around 2 a.m. Meet at Sahara and the Strip, southwest corner, and we'll search that. But yeah, there'll be a little bit of, I'm sure there'll be a little fan base there applauding the passing of the talented Mr. Carolla. Yeah, it's nice. All right, tomorrow night it's Chevelle, and until that time, this is Dr. Drew on behalf of Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
That's why I make the big bucks.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.